Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio because we're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, we focus on the changing role of the UW system and the increasing importance of reaching out to the greater community served by our four-year and two-year schools. I'm Glenn Moberg. Outreach has been an important part of the UW system, going back almost 100 years to the birth of Wisconsin Public Radio, and the role of UW Extension in providing services for our farmers, homeowners, and businesses. But integrating the people of our communities with our campuses is more important than ever in our fast-paced, high-tech, often impersonal world of the 21st century. And it was a role championed by the former dean of UW-Marathon County, Jim Veninga, who will be the subject of a tribute May 15th here at the UW Center for Civic Engagement, which he helped build, and we are dedicating this program to his memory. Our guest today, current UW-Marathon County Dean Keith Montgomery, UW-Stevens Point Chancellor Bernie Patterson, whose school is reaching out with environmental programs, economic development initiatives, and community forums, and Eric Giordano, the director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, which Jim Veninga founded with the core mission of connecting the resources of the University of Wisconsin with public policy issues. As always, we want to hear from you. We've been giving you a lot of phone numbers during this pledge drive, so I'm going to give you another one right now. It's 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to call in and make a comment or give us a question, that's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it on the air. Keith, Eric, and Bernie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Well, the show is dedicated to the memory and vision of former UW-Marathon County Dean Jim Veninga. Keith and Eric, tell us a little bit about the tribute service that's planned May 15th here at the Center for Civic Engagement.
May 15th, there's a reception beginning at 4:30 in the afternoon. That goes to 6 when friends can gather and share memories of Jim. So that's an extended gathering time. And then there's a tribute beginning at 6 o'clock in the evening and run till about 7:30. And there'll be, various people there will be sharing memories of Jim in public.
Now, he served as dean and then worked hard to open this campus to the greater community. But then he stepped down so he could interact in the classroom with students and share his passion for the study of religion.
Yeah, he really began the religious studies program in the UW colleges. That was part of his background. Also, he has a degree in theology, a master's in theology from Harvard. And I think that was also part of a greater project that he had coming out of the Texas Humanities Council, which was to engage society. The university should engage society in discussion of what they called big issues. And certainly, as we've seen in the past few months in Wausau, religion has been an issue in terms of music in public schools.
Oh, you better believe it.
And that's exactly the kind of way in which Jim believed that the Wisconsin Institute here could engage the community in dialogue and talk about these issues and bring scholarship from UWMC or UWSP from our regional universities here, bring that to bear perhaps on some of these issues.
Eric?
Yeah, Jim was a real pioneer and a visionary in the movement towards cultural literacy, civic literacy, and community literacy, and something that today we often call public scholarship. So the idea that, the academic world isn't just writing to peer audiences, but they're actually working with communities to help lend expertise to address community problems that people in the communities care about.
Well, Eric, you're the director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, and when you put all those words together and talk to people in the greater community, sometimes their eyes glaze over.
Sure.
Right? So tell us about this organization that he founded. What is WIPS, as we call it, the acronym? And what are your goals? What are you trying to do?
Right. Well, we're trying to help people to become more interested in civic participation and really in having tools to address the problems in their communities that they care about. So the model that WIPS is really founded on is the idea of bringing together university expertise and resources, community interests and resources, and students. And that's, I think, a really important part of this, because Jim really believed in this concept of lifelong learning and a learning society, so people at all ages could be learning. And we really believe in the model that students learn not just by listening and reading, but by those things and doing. And so the students are involved in all the projects that we try to do.
Well, the very building we're in, which will be the site of this tribute on May 15th, the Center for Civic Engagement, that's something he championed.
Absolutely. He really believed in the idea of creating space for community to come together to with university, with students, with any partners, businesses, to try to address problems together. And I think he, you know, if you just look at the elements in this building, Wisconsin Public Radio, Continuing Education, Kids Voting USA, WIPS, all of these are dedicated to addressing community issues, you know, using innovative tools.
And Keith, you're currently the dean, but you're a former teacher, just like Jim. Which do you like better?
They are both so completely different positions, but I think as dean, you know, you learn a certain amount of communication skills as a faculty member, and then as dean, you still have to communicate. You still have to gather up the issues, analyze the data, and defend your position, basically, in some cases. But they, you know, so there are certain commonalities between them.
And you've got a tough audience both ways, right? Whether it's students in the classroom or faculty members on campus.
Yeah, and I think it's important to you know, as a faculty member, I think you have some credibility. Let's put it that way. You've been a part of that culture, and you still are a part of that culture as well. But Jim, of course, came from a different space. So he came from the Texas Institute for Humanities, but he spoke with such passion about liberal arts general education, for example. I mean, he could connect the work of the university, as Eric was just saying, to its value in society. In such a way that he was just a winner as well.
Well, Bernie Patterson, you're the chancellor of UW Stevens Point. You've got a long history of reaching out to the greater community there.
We do, and we want to do even more, and are doing more. Extension has been this has been their mission for over 100 years, and we're trying to take a page out of their book. UW Marathon County has been an excellent leader in reaching out to the community. And our pledge in our new strategic plan is to be more relevant to community problems, more responsive to community needs.
And it's not like these are really completely separate campuses. UW-Marathon County and UW-Marshfield-Wood County and UW-Stevens Point all work together on a number of levels.
Oh, absolutely. For several years, we had an office downtown in Wausau, quite nice executive offices down there for the university. And because we wanted to work more closely with UWMC, we relocated to their campus, and the dean here has been very receptive, and it's been a great collaboration.
And, you know, you can take courses at UW-Marathon County, and they just transfer to UW-Stevens Point, so people can go 2 years at the one school and then end up with a four-year degree at UWSP.
Absolutely. It's very seamless. And, of course, the business program is still offered here, and you can take those business classes right here on UWMC campus and get your four-year degree.
That's right. You can transfer to Stevens Point without actually having to commute there.
Yeah, that's
true. If you do business on campus here.
And, Bernie, you've got an incredible facility. We've been talking about the Center for Civic Engagement here in Wausau, which we're very proud of. But the Noel Fine Arts Center, you bring in world-class performers on campus on a regular basis.
Oh, yes. A few months ago, I guess maybe now it was last year, Yo-Yo Ma was here. The tickets sold out before they went on public sale. That's how popular some of those programs are.
And you've got, you know, not only the performers that you're bringing in, but you've got this world-class theater department that not only provides entertainment for the greater community, but many of those students go on to acting careers, even on Broadway.
Absolutely. I was talking to an alum just 2 days ago in New York, Peggy Reiske, who won an Academy Award. So our students have all kinds of opportunities, and the productions on campus, you would have to go to Chicago to see anything comparable.
Well, we've got one caller, and we weren't able to get your information, but I'm going to go ahead and take the phone call. Caller, you're on the air right now with Bernie Patterson, Eric Giordano, and Keith Montgomery. Tell me who you are and where you're calling from.
My name is Joe. I'm calling from Stevens Point.
And your question or your comment, sir?
Well, I guess two things. I just got on the phone when Mr. Patterson, or not, I guess it's Dr. Patterson, mentioned the theater program on the UWSP campus. And as a proud alumni of that specific program, I really appreciate his comments, number one, because it's nice to know that, you know, the greater campus cares about the arts. And I think that's, in general, a pretty important thing that the UW system does really well. But my actual comment had to do with the collaboration between the three schools, UWSP, Marathon County, and Marshfield. And I think a really important thing that, at least as my experience at UWSP, was learning a lot about the climate and what's going on in that situation. And I kind of wanted to know, you know, talking about community outreach, what is the greater campus doing for getting out for the community and informing them about, you know, major changes and major issues like climate change, and maybe try to fix those solar panels on top of the the activity center at UWSB.
All right, sir, we're gonna let you take the comment off the air. We've got kind of an iffy cell phone connection with you right now, but Bernie Patterson. How about fixing those solar panels, and
yes,
how about integrating the community with some of those issues?
He's probably talking about the set of panels that the technology is now defunct on, and so those will have to be replaced. Of course, we have new solar panels on top of the what we call the suites, the new residence hall there. We've also just last week had a program on climate change on campus. I attended, and it was quite informative. Matter of fact, it was, wow, informative. And we've hired a new sustainability coordinator to help areas across campus be more engaged in sustainable practices right here at the university. And, of course, a number of courses address these issues straight on.
Glenn, this is Eric. One of the things that WIPS is very interested in doing is really empowering communities to help tackle issues that they care about. So, for example, we were approached by the head of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party in Wood County, and they've really started to come together and say, you know, we want to have some public forums on issues that we care about. And, you know, is there a way that, you know, we can do this to bring in expertise from the university, the 4 year, the 2 years, and outside experts, and really sit down and have a healthy civic conversation about issues we care about? And that's kind of what I think we're all saying is part of the mission of higher education as we see it.
You know, Institute is right there in the name WIPS. And when you look at a lot of political dialogue in the nation, there's a lot of institutes that really are not so much interested in dialogue as in creating positions and defending those positions, rather than opening out and listening to what other people have to say. So I'm not going to name any names, but they're in both sides of the political spectrum.
Oh, absolutely.
And so the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service does just what Eric is saying. It doesn't take positions. It brings people together, and I'm sure they have positions.
Absolutely. Everybody does.
But it brings them together for dialogue.
And well, we've held two U.S. Senate debates on campus, and we've had public hearings like the state Senate hearing on concealed carry legislation. Took place right here in this building. Well, and because it was being done in the theater, it allowed me as a reporter to record everything. And then I brought in a couple of guests on both sides, Buster Bachhuber of the National Rifle Association and our state representative from Wausau at the time, Democrat Donna Seidel. We did a radio show on the subject, all possible because of the facilities here that Jim Veninga championed.
Right, and that's an important role for public radio in the state in bringing people together from different sides of the political spectrum. But we've also had recently a major forum on healthcare.
Right. WIPS and many partners actually helped to sponsor two conferences last year on the Affordable Care Act. And we really had everybody, you know, from the Department of Governor Walker's office, as well as people around the state, experts on this issue, trying to figure out how this obviously landmark and controversial legislation affected people in Wisconsin.
And the idea of this being bipartisan, Bernie, the idea of integrating the campus with the community, that's something that was championed many years ago by another visionary leader, former Chancellor Lee Sherman Dreyfus, who went on to become a Republican governor in Wisconsin.
Yes, he did. He's very iconic on our campus. We think of a university as a place where a wide variety of ideas are welcomed and examined, even unpopular ideas, because there has to be a civil discourse about these. As a matter of fact, we have an initiative that grew out of our College of Letters and Sciences, led by the dean and the associate dean there, on civil discourse. And we're doing more of that now. As the issues become more tense, there's a greater need for us to think about how to talk with each other in a civil way, how to know when to speak and when not to speak, how to disagree in a professional manner. And sometimes those skills you see lacking in the public arena.
Oh, you see it lacking on radio, too. That's one of the reasons I'm so happy to be working at Wisconsin Public Radio, because we don't take political debates and turn them into fist fights or pie fights or what have you. You treat people on both sides with a great deal of respect and dignity. And you find, and this is something that's been really cool, I have found that I can often get people with completely opposing points of view together in one room, and if they sit and look each other in the eye and talk to one another, often they'll find areas of common agreement, common ground.
That is so true. And so the opportunity to do that on public radio, on the campus of UW-Marathon County, or here at the Institute, or down in Stevens Point, we want to promote those opportunities at every chance we have.
Well, what role does the Dreyfus Center fill right now on campus?
It's probably the busiest building on campus. It's what you would typically call the student union. But there's activities going on from early morning to late at night, 7 days a week.
And Keith Montgomery, you've got to leave us after this first segment. You've got a funeral that you have to go to this morning. But before you leave, talk a little bit more about the role this campus is playing in the greater community and how that fits in with Jim Veninga's vision.
Well, you know, I would say one of the, if you've got a university in your community, you've got a resource, I think, that other communities don't necessarily have, especially a smaller campus like this, which is much more sort of intimately connected to the community. But Jim, in building this center here, he really opened this campus out to the community in ways that it really hadn't been before. And when I speak to people in the county, this is now an iconic building on this campus, because it's right on Stewart Avenue here, and they say, wow, I've been to something in that CCE building, or whatever name they give it, and it really has created a connection to the campus that didn't exist before.
And you've been reaching out here on campus to other educational institutions, North Central Technical College, for some collaborative programs.
Oh yeah, I think we have to see ourselves as collaborators rather than competition. You know, you mentioned NTC. There's a lot of adults out there who have associate's degrees, for example, from NTC, who are looking to get a bachelor's degree from the UW. And I think what's happened in the past several years is finding ways in which you can take that associate's degree from a technical college and then add in general education and some capstone courses and maybe take them to another level of leadership in their organization. There's companies out there who recognize the value of that. You know, liberal arts, general education,
yeah.
Some capstone course in terms of communication, collaboration in groups.
And critical thinking. Liberal arts education,
yeah,
teaches you,
yeah,
how to solve problems.
In fact, that when Jim Veninga came to in the Search and Screen Committee, the candidates had to give a five-minute talk that they would give to a local service organization on why your son or daughter should come to UWMC. And I still remember Jim was the last candidate. Everyone was very tired. But a minute into his talk, I sort of put down my pen and crossed my arms and said, this is the guy, because he spoke with such passion about the liberal arts. And I just said that he understands the university, understands what we do in terms of freshman, sophomore courses here. That's the guy we want here.
Keith Montgomery, we're going to let you go. Thanks so much for being with us for this program. And if you just joined us, we're talking about the UW system, community outreach, and how we're trying to integrate this school and UW-Stevens Point and all of the UW system with the greater community. Keith Montgomery, leaving us now, Eric Giordano, Director of Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, and Bernie Patterson, the Chancellor of UW-Stevens Point, which is doing a lot in this area. They'll be back with us after this short break. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs. Businesses like D.B. Reinhardt Institute for Ethics, Access Prosthetics, and Gimme Shelter play a huge role in the success of WPR. Your business can too. More information at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Wausau's Woodson Art Museum, presenting exhibitions featuring upcycled couture fashion and fiber arts on view through June 15th. Details about how to repurpose and reimagine everyday items at lywam.org.
And thank you for listening to Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg, and we are back with UW-Stevens Point Chancellor Bernie Patterson and Eric Giordano of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service in a program dedicated to the memory and vision of former UW-Marathon County Dean Jim Veninga. Thanks to Keith Montgomery, the current dean here on campus, who joined us for the first part of this program. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or leave a comment on our Facebook page. Gentlemen, I'd like to play a short clip now from an appearance of Jim Veninga on this very program a couple of years ago when he discussed an essay that he had written about the Wisconsin idea, the progressive movement in Wisconsin, and a subject dear to his heart, religion, and its role in shaping public policy decisions. It's just a couple of minutes long, but listen closely because you won't believe how many ideas he gets into this short 2-minute clip.
Well, I had been thinking a little bit about the conditions of 100 years ago, the early progressive movement, and looking at the conditions of present-day United States and Wisconsin and seeing some similarities there, and that kind of drove me to ask some questions about the nature of progressivism as it first developed, and especially questions about the religious framework that helped sustain the progressive movement.
Well, the essay is entitled, Can Religion Help Revive the Progressive Tradition? But most of us in America, at least at this point in time, we're most familiar with conservative evangelical fundamentalism as the point at which religion intersects with politics.
Well, the interesting thing, if you go back 100 years ago, what you find is that progressivism was very much a movement that involved people from various political parties, independents, Republicans, Democrats. Indeed, one of the hallmark books that has to do with Wisconsin progressivism, the book by Charles McCarthy called The Wisconsin Idea that was published 100 years ago as an introduction by Teddy Roosevelt, Republican. And he, of course, applauds what's going on in Wisconsin.
So he was applauding then-Republican Senator Fighting Bob La Follette.
That is correct. So, you know, that's a key here is that there was a very big tent that was developed to bring people into this movement. So the question for me really was, if there can be a new progressivism, what would it look like? And might it be possible to get beyond the politics of division that we have experienced and the very thing that you talked about of the religious right having such a loud voice and bringing people together to really work on pressing issues.
That's the late Jim Veninga, former dean at UW-Marathon County on Route 51 a couple of years ago. There is a tribute service to him here on the UW-Marathon County campus on May 15th. He talked about a big tent, Eric Giordano. You worked with Jim. Your organization, the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, is dedicated to those public policy issues. Your reaction to what you just heard?
Oh, that's just classic, Jim. I appreciate you playing that. I mean, he was a true scholar, but also always looking for ways that scholarship provided meaning in our everyday lives. He used to sort of say, you know, we can talk about social sciences, and he believed in the importance of social sciences and the natural sciences as providing the what and the how. But he said, you know, humanities provides the why, and you can see there that he kind of embraces all of the approaches. I mean, he really believed in an interdisciplinary approach to addressing problems, and the university is playing a key role in trying to bring people together to do that.
And he wasn't talking about silencing conservative Christians.
He was saying
there need to be more voices in the room.
Right. And I think that's one thing I really enjoy about my organization is that we are very dedicated, thanks to Jim's vision, being a nonpartisan organization. We have to be. I mean, if we want to solve today's problems, we can't point fingers. You know, we've got to get people in the room. We've got to get them talking. And I think Jim was embodying that principle in that little clip you had.
And Bernie Patterson is chancellor at UW-Stevens Point. The Wisconsin idea, the idea of involving as many people as possible in public policy debates and discussions, that's something you do on a regular basis.
Oh, we absolutely do. I wish I had an opportunity to really know Jim and work with him. That wasn't possible for me. But I'd like to test the idea of making the tent bigger, broadening the conversation, and Jim's comments about religion and how that might impact public policy. Gee, can you imagine a conversation that would involve all three Abrahamic religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism?
That would make a very good radio show.
That's what I was thinking. Patterson. And you have three seats here, so it works out just right.
Well, do you mind, Glenn, if I put a little shameless plug in? There is a lecture series that's now named after Jim Veninga that's held every fall here, and we're actually bringing in Munir Jiwa, who's a Abrahamic Muslim,
yep.
Islamic scholar who will be here. But I love this idea, Bernie. I think we should make that happen.
Yep. Actually, we had now it was two, maybe 3 years ago on campus, a panel discussion involving representatives, clergy from all three Abrahamic religions on campus, and it was quite an interesting and well-attended event.
So you've done that already?
Oh, yes, we have. It's been some time, so it'd be time for a radio show, I'm sure.
All right, sounds good. If you just joined us, you're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We have kind of a broken-up radio show today because of the pledge drive that we're in. We're going to take another short break for a pledge drive announcement, and then we will be back with more from Bernie Patterson, Chancellor at UW-Stevens Point, and Eric Giordano of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Stevens Point Area Co-op, Peninsula Music Festival, and Import Auto Clinic. You too can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from The Hostel Shop in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, committed to helping people rediscover the joy of cycling with recumbent trikes and a comfortable, efficient, and easy riding experience. More at hostelshop.com.
I'm Glenn Mulberg. We're back with Eric Giordano, the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, and Bernie Patterson, the Chancellor at UW-Stevens Point, and we are talking about community outreach, how the UW system is reaching out to the greater communities that it serves. Eric, you wrote a column in the Wausau Daily Herald in which you discussed the idea of Rebecca Ryan, I believe it was. She's a planning expert who talked about the need for third places, as she described them, churches, synagogues, clubs, local breweries, coffee shops, where we spend time and interact with people in constructive ways.
Right. I think that's really critical to vibrancy and a healthy democratic society, frankly, not to mention reducing transaction costs among everyday people, including businesses. It really is something important to the success of a community. And I think I was trying to highlight that this building and universities generally can serve as those third places.
Bernie Patterson, a lot of third places in Stevens Point.
Yes, there are, and we're hoping to develop more. For example, on campus, there's the area that's known as the sundial, a lot of concrete. We'd like to see that redone in a sense of place for people to gather, for small performances, for interactions and an opportunity for people to gather and exchange ideas. So we think about this quite often.
And it doesn't just have to be on campus specifically for the university to be involved. I was involved with a major interaction that took place last week in Stevens Point, the annual Wisconsin Lakes Association convention. That took place at the Holiday Inn,
yes,
but it was really coordinated by Eric Olson and a lot of the faculty members on the UW-Stevens Point campus, bringing in 600 people, scientists and citizens and lakefront property owners and business owners from all around the state of Wisconsin, all concerned about the future of our lakes.
Absolutely. I was there on Saturday for that event, and you're absolutely right, Glenn. I was struck by the fact that almost all of those people were there as volunteers. I mean, they're not getting paid to do this. There were some professionals, clearly, from the university and from the Department of Natural Resources and such. But most people are there because they're giving their time to make this state a better place.
And we did a Route 51 show on the UW-Stevens Point campus. We've got a branch studio there.
Mm-hmm.
On the Lakes Convention, we had a number of the participants.
Thank you for doing that.
You know, I think the arts and humanities can also play a huge role in creating space. And so, you know, the great success and the world-class programs at Stevens Point, and really the professors and the students themselves, as they go out and do performances and show their work, these are creating third places and space for people to talk about issues in new and different ways. I mean, it's really critical, I think, to the vibrancy, again, of our communities.
And when we talk about integrating with the business community and the overall economy of the area, Bernie, you hired Dave Ekman, assistant to the chancellor for the purposes of economic development. A lot of people would say, what is a university doing getting involved in economic development?
Well, we're helping develop the community, and the economy is critical for all of us. Dave's position is relatively new. He's been here almost a year now. We're the only comprehensive university in the state that has a full-time economic development specialist working strictly with the local area, the region, the state, and beyond in helping companies be more productive, helping bring new jobs to the area, working with the Chamber of Commerce, working with the legislature, working with the governor's office. It has been a huge success the first year.
And you're working in the paper industry. You've got a paper program. You actually create the
yes.
paper that your art students draw on. And
absolutely.
And that has benefits for the greater community.
Absolutely. We're helping the paper industry diversify. The art paper that you referred to had to be imported from France, quite expensive. We reversed engineered that. Our paper science students, working with our art students, developed a new art paper on our campus at a less cost, made in America by Americans. What's better than that?
And then the environmental programs at the Schmeekly Reserve, Tree Haven, the Central Wisconsin Environmental Station. That, again, impacts a lot of people who aren't right on the campus.
Yes, and for example, Schmeekly is open to the public. We invite people to come and walk. The things are starting to green up. Spring, I'm told, will be here. I'm waiting to see that for myself, though, but we welcome the public on campus.
And, Eric, we've brought a lot of people into the Center for Civic Engagement. We've collaborated with Edgar Elementary Schools, bringing in Chester Nez, the last of the Navajo Code Talkers, William Kamkwamba, the boy who harnessed the wind, Luang Ung, who survived a horrific period of genocide in Cambodia.
Sure. I mean, that's one great thing about this space is, you know, even if the university could control it, we don't. It's really a community place now. And I think we see all kinds of community members coming, plays, theater, business programs, speakers. It's incredible.
Kids voting.
Kids voting's done a big mock election every 2 years, and also now a convention, and brought in multiple schools and students in to do that.
Well, we are out of time, gentlemen, and it went too fast, but we are going to leave you with a musical performance that illustrates what we've been talking about. Folk musician Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and his friend, former Congressman Dave Obey, playing guitar and harmonica, respectively, on the day that they held a conference to raise money for Obey's Congressional Library, which will be housed in this building, the Center for Civic Engagement. Here they are performing Bob Dylan's classic, Blowing in the Wind, on this show, Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
How many roads must a man walk down before they call him How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
David Obey.
We want to thank today's guests, UW-Stevens Point Chancellor Bernie Patterson, Eric Giordano of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, and earlier in this show, UW-Marathon County Dean Keith Montgomery. A reminder that the tribute to former UW-Marathon County Dean Jim Veninga takes place May 15th on campus here at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music by Peter Yarrow and Dave Olby. Next week on Route 51, the amazing story of Adrian Knopp, a Michigan man with strong ties to central Wisconsin who survived for a week stranded without warm clothes or rations on an island in the Alaskan wilderness. A reminder that if you missed part of the show, we repeat it in its entirety every Friday evening at 7 on 90.9 FM Wausau. It can be downloaded at WPR.org/Route 51. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we're heading out of town.